On this episode of The Playbook, I have Nick Guillen and Nick Agiloni, the founders of Truff Hot Sauce. And we are going to learn how you can take an Instagram handle, which became the secret sauce for building a luxury brand. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have two tremendous entrepreneurs. This is going to be a hot, hot playbook. We got the double Knicks. Nick Agiloni and Nick Guillen. Welcome to The Playbook,
my
boys.
What's going on?
What up, man?
You know, I am a hot sauce guy, and Truff hot sauce is one of my favorite hot sauce, but I always feel like it's a shampoo. It's so high class, man. It's the vibe is so high class, and it's incredible tasting. You know, I always say you love a hot sauce that you taste two times. Hopefully people subtly will get what I'm talking about, because this is the real stuff. But I'm most concerned about, you guys are great young entrepreneurs in your 20s. It's a rarity that you can start a business and maintain a business at such a young age. Even though the anomalies out there, people think of entrepreneurs as so young, it usually takes a few trial and errors, a few failures along the way. I'm living proof of that in order to get somewhere. How did you guys get together and come up with all the technology, all the esports, all the CBD, everything going on? You guys went traditional into hot sauce. How'd that happen?
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of the times we talk about, like, you know, when everyone's looking over here, you got to look in the other areas. When we met in college, we kind of had a few different businesses in the past. And this was one that just kind of like dropped into our lap, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we met in school. We went to Fullerton, right up the street here. And we just kind of like became homies over just like, I feel like two of the few kids that like really like business and like kind of like
hustling.
Like, we had two kids who were like trying to start shit, and like we were doing the business plan contest at our school and doing all this other shit. We can cuss on it?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, okay. And we just like kind of tried all these different things in college.
What was the biggest lesson through those business plan competitions? Because I judge those things. I see a lot of business plans. I'm always amazed when people try to raise money or ask me for money, and I'm like, hey, do you got a business plan? And they say no. But what's the biggest lesson you guys learned from those competitions?
I think they force you to really like think through what you're doing. I mean, there's like the obvious skills of like speaking in front of people and like presenting and doing all that kind of stuff. But in terms of like the actual, like, I feel like the cream rose to the top in those. There's a lot of people that came in, and I think the year I did, there was like 80 heads in it, and I took second, and he took, what was yours, like same?
Yeah, I think I took like third.
Do you know what your products were?
Same amount of people.
Yeah, I had this product that I invented. It's called the Soreness Solutions, and basically what it was a harness that went over the top of your head, and it held ice packs to your cheeks, so people, after they got surgery for the wisdom teeth, you would just pop in these, you know, cool little things, and it would help, you know, with the swelling.
And you figured that out when you had your wisdom teeth out,
exactly.
I assume.
Exactly.
That true entrepreneur. That's a true entrepreneur. It's like, yeah, this is why I created. My wife is a true entrepreneur. She's always coming up with great ideas. How about yours, Nick?
The product was, it was a product that was actually launched. It was a chaser for shots of alcohol. So like take like Crystal Light, the powdered beverage.
Yeah.
It was like that. But it had like vitamins, minerals, like extracts, and like certain things in there to help your hangover and like mask the shot of an alcohol. So everyone was drinking like Coke and Red Bull, and this was like a healthy alternative to basically drinking.
So both of you built businesses based off of necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think both of those were more like, we learned so much in the, like, those things kind of led us to the next thing and then to Truff.
Yeah. What was the next thing before Truff? There's one in between.
Yeah, he had a hat company.
Yeah, there's a couple things.
There's like a few things. He had a hat company. We were actually coincidentally unrelated to Truff. We were trying to get this salad dressing off the ground. You know when like the fitness scene was popping?
Yeah.
And like there's all these like kind of like do healthy ways to
things. Like the Flavor God and like the shred stuff was really cracking off.
Yeah. So when you're in that business competition, you're in an entrepreneur group, obviously at Fullerton. Out of those 80 participants, how many do you consider real entrepreneurs? But you saw all the other
That's
ones,
what I was
right?
saying. Yeah. Like the cream rises. Like
so, what is that? What's that percentage though?
I think there's an asterisk next to it because he had people competing against him that were like what?
MIT, yeah, I took second to a team of five, and two of them did their grad at Stanford. They're doing some like highly technical medical thing, and they're like a team of five, and it was like.
But that doesn't make it a good business.
No,
man,
it doesn't. Right? And that's kind of to your point. It's like. A lot of people in there. I don't know. It's like the cool thing to do, being an entrepreneur. So like everyone wants to get in there. And
thank
just,
God, man, it's building my brand. If it wasn't cool to be an entrepreneur, I'd lose my superhero status.
Yeah, you'll like, never lose people, your superhero like, status, bro. You're good for life.
That's sweet. but in all seriousness, so now you guys, you know, traveled around, did what most entrepreneurs do: try out, learn the business, learn how to make money, learn how to get distribution, learn marketing, all of those different things. Were you using your own money up until Truff?
For the most part, I mean, for my powdered beverage business, I put all my savings in, and then my dad was a partner as well, and I couldn't have done it without him. His hat business was all him.
Credit card.
Yeah, we did the debt thing a little bit.
And did you end up making money, breaking even, or losing money?
So I actually built that company up pretty quickly in like 10 months, and I sold it right before we launched Truff. So I kind of just like got rid of all the debt, made a little bit left over.
Yeah, I like
that's a huge win, by the way.
Yeah, it was
a
cool.
massive win.
Yeah,
it was funny because like we would be in the garage when we started Truff, and like Amex was like calling me, and I'd put it on
literally,
and Nick would just like start laughing. And he's like, "I'm scheduling this payment." I'm like, "Go ahead, there's nothing in the account." Like,
yeah,
I've been there, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so how'd you come up with this idea of Truff?
So.
Because it's so against, like looking at you two, you're two of the cooler people that I've met. You know, I mean, like, as far as in your 20s, like your vibe, your lingo, the stuff that you're interested in, I'm thinking, shit, you guys are CBD guys. I just had two CBD entrepreneurs that raised $6 million in here, and they're ex-athletes. But I'm looking at the packaging. It's so classy. I know the product really well. It's extremely high quality. Tastes amazing, and I'm a huge fan of hot sauces. So coming went to law school in Louisiana, I spent a lot of time down south. I do a lot of traveling around the world. Every meal I have, you better have hot sauce available for me. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking at you two going, wait, this does not fit you two.
This vibe.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of elements of Truff that I'd say do fit us really well. So during all those things we just talked about that we had done throughout college, we'd learned and immersed ourselves in so many different things that kind of led us to this. So like deep on social media, like Nick was early, like growth hacking accounts and like scooping up handles. And like, we were really studying like how these kind of influencer marketing businesses were like kind of taking off. But
what year was that?
13, 12, yeah. 12, 13, 14.
That's a good
15,
year.
Yeah.
Studying Gary V and his wine business.
Yeah, we were like way, like we, before Gary was like a thing.
Yeah.
We were like,
he was sending me videos.
You were watching
like before he was even like.
He had like 60K on Instagram or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like familiar with them. And we had just like, we just kind of put a lot of things that we learned. And like one of the things we saw that we didn't like was a lot of these brands, like the fitness ones, for example, they're just kind of like whoring off products. And
they're
just
cash
like,
cow brands.
I don't
like
that either.
They're trying to just, you know, do numbers and volume. They're not really like focused on, I guess I'd say, the prestige of like the brand aspect. It's more of pushing product, making money,
right?
Cash
standing,
flow.
Standing
and
in
even
front
like
of
to
a
point
Ferrari
of like being unethical too, like kind of selling things that aren't cool. And like we just got like grossed out by that. It's like we don't want to be anywhere near that. Like they're selling snake oil at the end of the day.
So it's interesting because that was my biggest hesitation. You know, I've been in this game. It'll be 3 years this Super Bowl when I got to meet with AJ and Gary Vaynerchuk and help them with the sports agency, but moreover kind of allow them to teach me what was going on. But my perception 3 years ago even was, hey, dude, standing in front of cars they don't own, houses they don't own, you know, overselling, back-end selling, manipulating, lying, and cheating. And I wanted no part of that. And even when I started, I had to take a lot of slack. I always say people laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you first before they applaud you. So, 100%. You know, I'm not a young guy. I had a pretty nice reputation in business going. And I always say my greatest risk, and I've, you know, lost a lot of money in my life and risked a lot. My greatest risk was my brand going on to social media and posting every day my ideas.
Right.
But I stuck to, I think what Truff has is just an organic, authentic quality of, you know, not overselling, just holding that mass prestige of a really high quality hot sauce that people can really enjoy. Is that aligned with what kind of your thought process or
100%?
Yeah, right. that's kind of like what we saw in the marketplace. Like the way that Trev started is I'd got the handle sauce on IG, like early on, and
at sauce.
And like, we were both working on, you know, a few different projects at the time. And I called up Nick. I was like, hey, I just got this handle, like sauce. This is, you know, Times Square of New York on IG. Let's do something with it. He's like, for sure. So every day we were just like figuring out what content we wanted to post. We'd post like really cool, high quality imagery, things we thought would resonate well with like the pop culture foodie, hot girls holding, you know, pizza up and just all kinds of different things. And just like all kinds of different content that we thought was like really cool.
We could show you like some of the old content. Yeah. So like archived right now.
And that's then cool. Like some celebs started following us and like Complex Magazine started following us. And we were like, okay, this is kind of dope. We're getting some traction. Built the account to like 10,000 followers in a couple of months. And we were like, well, this is like turning into something. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, I think there's a bigger opportunity here. Let's not just create a food account that has this cool name. Like, let's take it a step further. And we were thinking of, you know, different products that we could sell through this platform. We wanted to create a platform where, you know, a brand would live. And the first market we looked at was hot sauce. And we saw a bunch of different opportunity in the space. We didn't see any like top shelf hot sauce brand. There was no direct to consumer hot sauce company, and no hot sauce brand was digitally native. We saw like, you know, at Tapatio and Tabasco, and a lot of these people didn't really understand like how to be cool digitally. And we've been studying this for the last 3 years. So we're like, okay, let's figure out how to make a high end luxury lifestyle hot sauce. Let's go all in on social media and take this direct to consumer approach.
By the way, huge fans of Tapatio and Tabasco.
Love them.
Yeah, me
not,
too.
Not a doc in any way.
Yeah not at all. I am too. So yeah, they're different.
We like all.
We have all, even in our office, like our fridge is just filled with every hot sauce you can imagine.
Yeah, one of the guys that I coach, you know, in a very similar way, right, created a mass prestige under, you know, deodorant. Uh-huh. And sold out to P&G for $100 million.
Native?
Yeah. It's very similar though, right? Yeah. Because you're taking what has existed for years and utilizing a strategy to effectuate direct selling.
One of the things we really did though is like we were very focused on like product and like lifestyle. So like it's a truffle infused hot sauce, and so truffle, it automatically elevates anything. And like we didn't want to just put truffle though. We wanted to like tell the whole story with the packaging and the truffle inspired lid, and like this is not normal presentation for a hot sauce, right?
Right.
This is of course for our white version, but when we launched, we basically made, you know, a ton of these in the black version, and we had seeded a ton of, you know, influential people in music, fashion, culture, food, whatever, and they got to see this presentation. And so we basically told them the whole story with this, them opening the box, and like it basically painted the picture of, okay, unique hot sauce. Oh wow. We gave them like these bowls and like these chips, and they got to taste it. And it was like, by the way, where are the chips over here?
That's right.
We're doing chips. Where are the chips at? The
guys are supposed to bring the chips. They're probably like searching around the stale chips in the office. It's Monday.
That's funny.
And just picking it out, right? I worked with Sydney Frank when those guys told the story of how they picked out from 26 different samples Grey Goose, you know, the first high end vodka, you know, not dissimilar to what you did in the hot sauce space.
Right.
How did the tasting process go to pick, you know, the actual truffle infused hot sauce, the ones that you guys like?
A year and a half and 300 renditions.
Yeah, so how many stomachs in the kitchen?
That's Nick, right on. Nick learned a lot about product development with his beverage company, so we had like a pretty good idea of where to start. You know, working with co-packers and sourcing different types of ingredients, so we kind of plugged into his network, and we just sourced like a bunch of different ingredients, like the highest quality stuff we could find. All different suppliers.
All we cared about was quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had just a bunch of stuff started showing up at his parents' house. And we would just go into his kitchen and just like mad scientists.
We have pictures. Like it's just lines of different like formulas and like ratios and like ingredients, notes. And we did that because it's not just like, okay, you make the sauce and then it's done. It's you're working on all the other aspects of the business. And that's one of them. And so it probably took, you know, like a year and a half of doing that trial, error, got to a certain point where we're like, okay, this is solid. We love this. let's get a very professional chef type opinion. So like we kind of
move that.
Yeah, we like got you know some more feedback from kind of it was just kind of like these chefs from they were like a food consulting people that we had just kind of advised us on things to do. They had access to a couple of chefs and they kind of just said, "Hey, amazing. Maybe some more truffle." And we were like, "Okay, yeah, more right, truffle, right. Yeah." And
so yeah. Partnerships are tough enough. When you're young, partnerships are even tougher. Waiting a year and a half to figure stuff out is like a legendary lifetime.
Three years.
Yeah. But even moreover, you know, I understand core competencies and specialties, right? Nick Guillen, you came up with, you know, pretty much the hack that created the impetus for actually being able to sell, right? But yet, was there ever conflict between you guys because of impatience of, you know, hey, you know.
Someone was asking that us the other night.
Yeah.
We were, and you can speak on this too. I think Nick and I are, like, we read the book Ego is the Enemy, and we were both like,
good book.
Fuck. This is like, duh. And like, I think we're both mild-mannered in the sense that we never come into something like knowing that I know the answer, he knows the answer. We just care about getting to the right answer. And so all like ego aside, it's kind of just like, yo, we're here to build this business. We're homies. Let's just build this business the best way it should be built. And like, there's no need for, you know, confrontation. We see it all the time. And we've kind of knock on wood. We've like never like gone there because our focus is not, we're not building the business to, you know, wet our own whistles. We're building the business to build the business. And we're going to do everything naturally to do what's best for that.
Which is how things succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Enjoying the consistent every day.
And persistent. We know what each other's good at. Like, he's a digital master. Like, right. It's insane.
I can see digital the skill respect set. You have for each other.
And he, like, yeah. There's stuff that he does that I, like,
We just, like, have our strengths, and we both play into each other's arenas, like, we're both involved with each other's aspects of the business.
But there's like a nice little crossover.
Yeah, it's like a Venn diagram, and there's like the middle. And like,
well, it makes it easy to interview you guys because you finish each other's sentences. Perfect. So I'm always completely frustrated going, shit, two people on the interview? That makes it so hard. You guys are making it so easy.
That's another thing, too. So, like, we don't do a lot of podcasts and things like that because we're like, hey, we want to. Because
you're already so famous.
Build the business. Yeah, I know. We don't need that shit.
Only the ones that hang out in the neighborhood. Yeah. Only the best
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah, we heard it was down the street. We're like,
exactly.
Right.
We'll go and see
the
Dave
point
Meltzer.
Is like, there are people who want to have, like, just, like, one person on and be like, oh, no, we can't make it. Like, you can have us both on or, like, we can't do it because no one's trying to get the limelight. Like, you know, it's just, like, it's an even playing field, and I think that ties into, like, the partnership.
Yeah, that's why I like my business partner, Warren Moon. He used to, all the interview requests that he gets, he's like, can Dave do it for me?
Like, yes. And like, there'll be times.
He like, built my brand for me. He's like, I don't want to do that, Dave. Why don't you go on CNBC, talk about sports marketing. I'll sit over here on ESPN and talk about Russell Wilson. Know what I know. I
love that.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right. So moving forward, right? Being in business, staying in business, and making money are three different stages of a business. I haven't met too many young entrepreneurs that built a business with such patience and so little ego. The maturity level of both of you, extraordinary.
Thank you.
But you got to make money, right? And there's different levels of making money as you start expanding your business. Where does the business lie today as far as the monetary side of things, and what do you see for the future?
It's going really well.
You don't have to use actual numbers. So
I can't, but I know. Yeah. You'd say, wow, that's going very well.
Yeah.
We're looking to grow tremendously into retail this year. Our first year was focused on e-com, digital leverage, brand building, awareness, kind of just getting things, get the machine oiled. We're lucky to have amazing partners. In addition to us, we have our founding team included John Buscemi, Aaron Levant, and my dad.
Nice.
And so it was kind
your
of
dad stuck
five
with you,
when we launched.
Even though you lost all his money.
I didn't even lose all his money.
Nice, I'm teasing you.
He actually came out just fine one. And so we had this team, and that kind of helped us kind of catapult. And the first year was that digital thing, that influencer list that we were able to get a hold of is through
blanket social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the second year we do retail. We're in about 800 doors today. We'll be in about 1500 next week. We're launching Whole Foods nationally.
Nice.
And we actually just hired one of the best VPs of sales in the business from from a good, from a great spot.
Yeah.
And he's just an absolute amazing person and very skilled. And so he'll be building out our retail presence. And so that's kind of the next thing.
What are the misconceptions that people have, is especially when you have young entrepreneurs, that their company's doing well, is that you guys must be rolling in it. So I don't think people realize how much you have to reinvest and the risks that we take as we grow scale into retail, into doubling our retail, into more executive type employees and advisors and distribution, marketing, all the different things. Are you guys taking money out of the business? Or, you know, are you, you know,
we reinvest back in the business. Like we pay ourselves, you know, but it's very,
we're not struggling
at
all by any means. But we're not looking to cash out this second. We care about growing the business, you know, that's all we care about. And we're make any sacrifice we have to do that. But the business is doing well and we're very comfortable.
Yeah. Like every year we look at Truff as like a new version.
Yeah.
Like after year one, we're like, okay, year one was great, but now it's Truff V2. How can we improve every aspect of the business that made us successful in year one? How can we learn from all our failures in that past year? And like, now it's Truff V3. Okay. We've been doing well in digital and e-com. Let's build out retail. Let's continue to scale e-com and digital, but let's improve every aspect that we, you know, did well in year two and learn from the mistakes. So I think it's just constantly like reinvesting back into the business.
Yep.
And just
growing. And then it's doubling down on the things that are doing great. Like we're the number one sauce and hot sauce on Amazon. It's like, cool. Yep. We needed to be that this year. We need to have three SKUs in the top three. Like, how can we do that? We're the best on Amazon, be better on Amazon. And like doing all these things to just continue to just, you know.
So if the day comes that you get bought out by, you know, a big food, you know, company, are you guys going to go into the next business together as well?
We got plans, bro.
Yeah, I figured.
We got some notes.
You're not going to hang out on the beach?
I mean, I don't want to position it like, oh, we sell and we're out. But like,
we're wired to just see
build shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Build
stuff. And you guys really compliment one another. Right now. And you have, you know, your egos in check and your old souls. And I can see why people get behind you. And, you know, your strategies are, you know, far beyond your years. So I would definitely encourage you both to stick together. It's
that's the plan.
It's pretty cool.
So, 2 weeks from now.
No, don't worry. It'll be a girl that messes these two up. You'll see. Something
on. There's no crossover there. We got the fine lines.
All right, cool. Anyway, man, you guys should be really proud of yourself. The only apology I have is I didn't have the chips here so that we could all partake in the extraordinary hot sauce.
Can,
but
we
I
can
will.
Dab them.
You know what? I'm all for
let's
that.
Do a dab.
Let's do a dab.
Let's get the whole room in on one.
Yeah, let's get a room on the dab. This is how we're going to close out. I got Nick Guillen and Nick. Oh, my goodness. Am I going to say
Agiloni.
This correctly? Agiloni. We got Nick Agiloni and Nick Guillen here with me. We're going to do a hot sauce dab with Tuff. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.